Hey guys, it's Jared here. Unfortunately, this past weekend, I was hit with a stomach bug, a food poisoning, not entirely sure what it ended up being, but regardless, it basically took me out for the whole weekend. And if you were DMing me or were looking for a response to a tweet or anything like that, and I didn't reply, that's why. And unfortunately, because of that, I was not able to record my own waiver wire show for this weekend for CTN. But lucky for you guys, the show will go on, and Nate Marquise graciously volunteered to provide his insights this week on the waiver wire. Not only is Nate an incredibly smart guy, but I think it'll be really good for you guys to hear from somebody else's perspective on what are some values on the waiver wire for this upcoming week. So, Nate, if you're listening, man, appreciate you so much for stepping in like this. Again, before some of you DM me and everything, I am feeling much better already today. But Nate is awesome. He did a fantastic job on this week's episode. So hope you guys enjoy it. This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to Chasing the Natty. I am your host today, and if you haven't figured it out already from the sound of my voice or from my face, if you're watching on YouTube, I am not Jared Palmgren. My name is Nate Marquise. I am filling in for Jared today. He's a little under the weather, but the waiver wire show must go on. So I will do my best to give you guys some of the best week 10 waiver wire options here on Chasing the Natty. I hope you guys are having a good ride in on your Monday mornings, as every Monday you will find the Waiver Wire podcast of Chasing the Natty. And then on Wednesdays, you will find the sit start options that Jared will have for you. So tune into that. Also, if you haven't already, head over to campusdecanton.com, subscribe to any of our phenomenal tiers there. We've got it all for you when it comes to fantasy. We've got CFF, Devy, C2C, IDP, DFS, you name it. We've got it over there for you. Lots of tools, rankings, everything you're going to need as it pertains to fantasy. As always, you can follow Jared at CFF Jared. The show, Chasing the Natty, is at Chasing the Natty. Again, I am Nate Marquise. You can find me on X at CFF Nate. So be sure to give everybody a follow there. As always, you can once a month find myself and Jared doing Defending the Natty, the dynasty version of our CFF podcast. Once a month, usually right around the 15th of each month, we are going to have Volume Pigs on this coming up episode. So be sure to check that out as well. So also, if you haven't, be sure to give the show a 5-star review and a like. All of that helps promote this show and helps college fantasy football in general. So be sure to do that. All right. It's been a while since I've done a solo pod. I will try not to get too choked up. I don't know how Jared does it, man, with talking this much. Just taking water breaks is a challenge in and of itself. This is actually the second attempt I've had at recording this. I had to stop the first one. I got about halfway through the quarterbacks we're going to discuss today, and I'm dying. I'm coughing so bad just from my throat getting so dry as we do this. I'm like, crap, I gotta scratch that and start over. I can't just have a 3-minute cough break going on. So we'll try our best to get through this here today. I used to do the Chasing the Natty podcast waiver show with Jared a couple years ago, pretty much every week throughout the season. So feels like I'll jump back in this thing and give you guys the best options I can. So let's go ahead and jump into it then with our quarterbacks here. Don't really have the the freak out scale for you guys today, since I'm kind of putting this together last minute, but we do have some quarterbacks, maybe a few honorable mentions for each position as well. So here we go. Our first quarterback that I want to discuss is UTSA quarterback Owen McCowan. So he is coming off a monster week 9 game. And the nice thing that we are finding with UTSA is that they are really, really struggling defensively. And that is leading to so many shootouts with each of their games. If we just look at the volume recently for Owen McCowan, 50 attempts against Tulsa, 45 the week before that, 43 the week before that, 50 attempts against Rice. So the volume is certainly there. This most recent week, he completed 30 of those 50 attempts, 434 yards and 4 touchdowns. Does not really provide much in the run game. When you're throwing the ball 50 times a game, I'm not sure that it really matters that much. They have a nice matchup this week against Memphis. So that has definite shootout potential. I would venture to say that the total points on that from Vegas lines is probably going to be somewhere in the mid to upper 60s. So definitely a lucrative position there for Owen McCowan. After week 10, he does have a bye week, which is a little bit of a bummer. But after that, in week 12, he has North Texas and Temple to start off the playoff matchup. So pretty salty matchups that he's got between Memphis, North Texas, and Temple. I think he's a really strong waiver wire add for this week. Next, we will move over to Cooper Laga. And if you can't tell already from those watching on the audio feed of this, there are no graphics tonight. Jared is the one that handles all the graphics, bells and whistles that you guys see. Anytime Jared is on a podcast and you're watching it on YouTube, he is the one doing all the work with that. I wouldn't even know how to even get started with something like that. So for those of you listening on audio version, you are missing absolutely nothing from the video portion of this. Our next quarterback here, Cooper Laga, quarterback of Tulsa, who was in that shootout right there, dueling with Owen McCowan, as Tulsa had a monster comeback against UTSA. I want to say they were down 42-17 or something like that, fairly late in the third quarter. And, you know, I'll be damned if they didn't win. 46-45, just a massive comeback. And that came on the back of Cooper Laga, who ended up going 16 of 31 for 333 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions, which I think is a big thing here, because Tulsa has really struggled at times, and turnovers have been a part of that. So if Cooper Laga can keep from turning the ball over, he is going to remain a really viable option for Kevin Wilson and that staff there at Tulsa. They have UAB coming up in week 10. So that is a really nice matchup. As far as what they have coming up after that is also a bye week in week 11, but ECU, South Florida, and Florida Atlantic. You know, all of those juicy American Athletic Conference matchups there. Unlike Owen McCowan, though, Cooper Laga does offer some really nice upside with his legs. He had 13 rushes for 46 yards, and that, you know, he would have had closer to 75 yards had he not been sacked 4 times. So he had 17 attempts for 81 yards and a touchdown a few weeks ago against Army. So there is definitely rushing upside with Cooper Laga. He's pretty athletic, and I think that that will be a big piece of this offense moving forward for Tulsa. Next, we will talk about a freshman who is just been crushing it lately in the SEC, and that is Mississippi State's Michael Van Buren, who has really, you know, kind of found his way in that Jeff Lebby offense, where you know, volume is key, obviously, but they run at just a just ridiculous tempo, one of the fastest paced offenses in the country, as always with Jeff Lebby in that Buren shoot. And since taking over, Michael Van Buren has really kind of found his footing here. Most recently against Arkansas last week, again, similar to UTSA, similar to Tulsa, Mississippi State finds themselves playing from behind a lot, which is great in the quarterback position. A lot of garbage time points, a lot of game script requiring them to throw the ball more. Against Arkansas, he was 22 of 31, 309 yards, two touchdowns, did have a couple interceptions. But over the last 3 weeks, and this is against Arkansas, Texas A&M, and at Georgia, he has eight touchdowns and has eclipsed 300 yards in two of those matchups. Here's the nice thing. He's not playing SEC competition this week. I'm going to mention a couple of Mississippi State guys, and that is because they are playing UMass this week. They got one of those nice spots where the SEC steps out of conference and plays one of the rum-dums towards the end. They get healthy, but they also get to put up big numbers. So he'll be going up against that Minuteman defense, which will be a nice change of pace for him from what he has been seeing in the SEC. He doesn't provide a whole lot with his legs, but like we saw with Dillon Gabriel under Jeff Lebby, Lebby does like to use his quarterbacks as an option around the goal line. So he has punched in a couple of touchdowns this year rushing. So I do think that that could play a role here. So look for him to have a really nice game against UMass. After that, it ain't easy, folks. I mean, Michael Van Buren for season long redraft type leagues, probably just looking at this 1 week situation. After that, he goes to Tennessee, top 10 defense. He's got a bye, and then he's got Missouri, and then he's at Ole Miss. Maybe they have a little bit of fun in the Egg Bowl there, but for the most part, you're looking at just kind of a spot starter here if you're really hurting because of. There's a lot of bye weeks. I mean, a lot of bye weeks in week 10. So those are kind of the three main guys that I would check out if I were you, that I would probably feature the most or prioritize the most in my waiver wire options. I'll give you three honorable mentions here that I'll just kind of quickly go over. And that is one maybe Jared has mentioned before in recent episodes. I can't remember off the top of my head, but Marshall quarterback Braylon Braxton, they have ULM this week, which up until week 9 has been a pretty solid defense. But man, they struggled against South Alabama. They gave up 40 plus points. The real key that South Alabama had was they ran all over Monroe. I mean, just every one of them were just going bonkers running the ball. So, what's the one thing that Braylon Braxton really offers that is kind of the biggest key to him and his success? And that's his ability to run the ball. So, I think that there is obviously some risk with him, given ULM has been good, given the weird situation that has been going on at quarterback there at Marshall. They can't seem to figure out, even though Braylon Braxton has clearly been the guy. They sometimes will go back to Stone Earl, which is a little puzzling. But upside wise, I think he's probably got the highest upside of anybody that I'm going to mention here. He just also has the lowest floor. The other one, a couple more that I'll mention here. By the way, just I forgot to mention some of the percentage ownerships here. Braylon Braxton's at 9%. It looks like Michael Van Buren's at 8%, Cooper Legault just 2%. That's probably just people that drafted him in best ball leagues prior to the season and don't have the ability to drop him because he had not done anything until this past week. And then McCown, the most highest owned because he had some success earlier in the year, 19% owned. Another couple guys that I'll just mention real quick in some honorable mentions here. Jacoby Criswell has taken over there in North Carolina and has kind of ran with that job. He's looked pretty good here recently. They have a nice matchup against FSU. It's not probably the best. I mean, it's clearly not as good of a matchup as some of these other ones in the American Athletic Conference that I've already discussed. But Florida State average to above average defense. They do tend to kind of grind things down a little bit, but Criswell's been really good. He's found a key target that we will discuss later in this episode with JJ Jones. So I do think that he is a viable option there. He's only 6% owned. And then the last guy I'll mention, this may sound a little strange, but I bet a lot of people in your league have dropped him over the last couple of weeks. And he's somebody that was drafted fairly high early on, and that is Jackson Arnold at the University of Oklahoma. Clearly, there's not everybody's going to have him available in their leagues, but if he has been dropped, OU plays Maine this week, so this is a really nice spot for the Oklahoma offense, who looked a little bit better against Ole Miss. Still, one of the worst in the entire Power Four, maybe in the entire country for that matter, given how bad their offensive line is. He will have time to maneuver against Maine. Dear God, I hope that the Sooners can block Maine, give Jackson Arnold some time. So I think that it's a game where he could be spot started, unlocked a little bit. He had right at 100 yards. Had it not been for being sacked, I think 9 times against Ole Miss. So if you take away the sack yards, he actually would have had right around 100 yards rushing in that game. So I do think that there's rushing upside with him as well. So just somebody to look out for in case he is floating around on your waiver wires. All right, let me take a little sip of water here, and then we will move over to running backs. First one I want to mention here, and forgive me if Jared has mentioned him. I know he didn't in last week's episode, but another true freshman. I promise I'm not going to just talk about true freshmen, even though I love Dynasty. I will try to keep this as on point for a redraft as possible. But ULM freshman Ahmad Hardy is having a really nice season here, and he has become that Coach Vincent, go-to running back. I've written about him in my Pulse of the Nation articles recently. He has, just looking at his most recent game logs here, 20 carries, 15, 14, and 27 over the last 4 games. Most recently, he had 100 yards. He's eclipsed 100 yards in 3 of his last 4 games. JMU, he only had 82. Other than that, he has either hit the 100-yard mark or scored a touchdown. I do think with them matched up against Marshall, who's not been a very good defense at all, I do think that Hardy will continue to get fed. Game script was kind of weird, obviously, with them losing 46 to 17 against South Al this last week. Probably limited him a little bit, but he's still got 100 yards. He's still got 20 carries. So it would not shock me if he gets another 100 yards, finds the end zone here against Marshall this week. Looking at his schedule moving forward, after that, he has Texas State, not bad. Auburn in week 12, probably not going to be a good spot to start him there in the playoffs. Would not trust that at all. And then Arkansas State and Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana. So those are pretty strong matchups, favorable matchups for Hardy as well. Next one I want to talk about, like I said, you will hear me kind of beat the drum for Mississippi State this week. I've already discussed Michael Van Buren. Now that we are in running backs, let's talk about Devon Booth, who is, quietly having a really solid season, and he has been fairly, leaned on here the last couple of weeks. Most recently against Arkansas, he had 17 carries for 93 yards and did pop with a reception of 54 yards and a touchdown on that catch. So he's used some in the past game. He had 5 targets against Texas A&M, and over the last couple of weeks, he has eclipsed 100 yards from scrimmage and has gotten into the end zone in both of those games. He's actually gotten in the end zone the last 3 weeks. So, again, this week, Mississippi State plays UMass. That's just a really nice spot here in week 10. So many teams are on a bye this week. It's incredible. You're going to have to dig a little bit deeper probably than some past weeks on your waiver wires. Not to mention, I mean, it's picked over pretty good here at this point in the season. So if you can get somebody going up against UMass who's shown they've been fairly productive recently, I do think that that is a nice spot for Booth if you want to take a shot there. Next, we will talk about is, speaking of that South Alabama game where they ran all over ULM, they have kind of gone back and forth or pretty much had a 50-50 split between Fluff Bothwell and Kentrell Bullock. So Bothwell, we've discussed, numerous times, I'm sure, on this podcast. He's likely already owned. Bullock, though, probably still an option for you out there. He most recently against UL Monroe went 18 carries, 141 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Bothwell got his too. He eclipsed 100 yards, had a couple of touchdowns. It was actually Bullock that went off first. Bothwell did most of his damage in the second half after Bullock already had eclipsed 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So, but over the last 3 weeks, Bullock's got 18 carries, 15 carries, 13 carries. So, not bad, not bad. He is going up against Georgia Southern this week, which is a pretty good spot to be able to start a guy there. Georgia Southern defense has not been great this year. He will then have a bye, and then Louisiana Lafayette, Southern Miss, and then Texas State. So some decent matchups here. He is 10% rostered, so he should be out there. A little bit more options for him than probably what you've seen with Hardy, because Hardy was 25% owned. So, but I think that he could provide some decent options for you there. The one honorable mention guy that I will discuss here after mentioning Hardy, Booth, and Bullock is George Pettaway, the transfer from North Carolina over to James Madison. He has kind of turned it on here over the last, probably the last month or so of the season. Most recently, pulling his stats up here, against Southern Miss this past week in week 9, 16 carries, 119 yards, 1 touchdown. And as has been well, documented and discussed on George Pettaway, one of his biggest upsides is the fact that he is a good receiver out of the backfield. He has 25 targets this year, turned that into 15 catches, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. He can be used both in the run and receiving game. Over the last, 4 weeks, he has eclipsed over 15 touches. And over that span, he has a couple of games with 100 yards from scrimmage. So it looks like he is kind of taking a hold of that job and started to kind of run with it here. The main reason I didn't mention him as a surefire waiver pickup is that he doesn't help you this week with all of those buys going on, and you're really looking for somebody to help you out because your bench is so thin. Pettaway is one of those victims to the week 10 bye week as well. So if you are picking him up this week, it is more of a stash play for week 11 moving forward, but it's nice. It's nice. If you can get him and hold him and start him, from week 11 on, he has Georgia State, Old Dom, App State, and Marshall. So all of those near, the bottom third as far as defenses here in the country. So some really, really strong matchups there. All right, let's slide over to wide receiver. Let me get a quick drink here. We had touched on J.J. Jones briefly whenever I had mentioned Jacoby Criswell as a potential option for you. J.J. Jones has been really kind of a revelation over the last couple of weeks, where he has been the clear go-to guy for Jacoby Criswell since Criswell has locked up that position. He seems to be looking for Jones quite often, and Jones has definitely taken advantage of it. Most recently against Virginia, he had 7 targets, not bad, 5 catches, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So really efficient. He He wasn't as utilized the week before, just had three targets, but he still turned that into three catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. So against Duke 4 games ago, had five catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. So he can be fairly touchdown dependent because this is not a guy that's consistently getting, eight, nine, 10 plus targets, but he has kind of separated himself as the guy there. Bryson Nesbitt has gone down, which was one of the main receiving options there at North Carolina. So they're in the thick of things there at the ACC. So they are going to continue to toss the ball around. I like him as a play moving forward. As I mentioned, North Carolina has Florida State this week. Not great, but it's not exactly, it's not like playing Clemson. I think that it's kind of middle of the road, something that you can work with there. After that, they have a bye. And then he will face Wake Forest, one of the worst passing defenses, Boston College, and NC State. So I do think that he could provide a decent spot for you here with all these bye weeks happening. Next one I will mention is a guy that's definitely flown under the radar, at least for me, until a couple of weeks ago, and that is Buffalo receiver Victor Snow. Just a sophomore, but he has definitely turned it on as of late. We don't normally think of Buffalo receivers as a real viable option for fantasy, but he is really kind of shown out well over the last few weeks here. Most recently against Ohio, he had five receptions, 75 yards and a touchdown. Prior to that, against Western Michigan, seven catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. The nice thing for him is they do seem to use him in the run game on end arounds, a variety of looks, just trying to find ways to get the ball in his hands. He has seven rushing attempts for 47 yards and two touchdowns on the season. So again, somebody similar to Jones that is not getting an insane volume. This isn't a Nick Nash volume or Tet McMillen or anything even in the realm of that. But they use him around the goal line. They find ways to get him the ball. He's been quite effective. So he has Akron this week. So I mean, you talk about a nice matchup. I mean, Akron, it just over the last few years, especially since Joe Moorhead has been there, has not been a very good defense. They're a little bit better this year defensively. But for the most part, you're liking that matchup quite a bit. After that, they have a bye. Then they have some really other juicy matchups. Obviously, it's Maction. It's time. It's time for us to all try to ride that Maction wave here through the playoffs. He has Ball State, Eastern Michigan, and Kent State to close out the playoff weeks there. So really nice options for Victor Snow. It's not a downfield passing attack, and that's fine because he works out of the slot. He works over the middle of the field, and they just try to get him the ball in space. So look at him for an option there. Next one I will talk about is a guy that kind of made a little bit of a splash this past week, and that is Otto Tia. And obviously, the reason Otto Tia has popped up on a lot of people's radars now is the news, the very unfortunate news that Jalen Royals has decided to opt out for the remainder of the season to prepare for the NFL draft, right? Jalen Royals, as Jared and I talked on Defending the Natty recently, a top five type of receiver the rest of the season is what we were expecting from him. And he was just putting up monster numbers, big time target hog. That's gone now. And this most recent week against Wyoming, Otto Tia saw nine targets, which is a pretty, that's not Jalen Royals volume, but still, that's nice. And he was able to convert that into six catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Tia is a guy that Utah State has talked about for a few years now as a potential breakout candidate. It's just never seemed to happen. And I don't know if it will, but there are definitely signs pointing us in the right direction here, that that he could be as a boundary receiver, which Jalen Williams played, an option, a viable option moving forward. The unfortunate part for Royals, or for Royals, for Auto Tia, is that they have a bye this week, so he does not help you for your Week 10 absences here. But moving forward after that, Washington State, Hawaii, San Diego State, and Colorado State. So some okay matchups throughout there, but it's one of those deals with Utah State and the passing volume that they've had as they consistently throw over, 40 to 50 attempts a game. The volume is going to be there, even if it's not on Jalen Royals level. You could see, 15 to 20 fantasy points like we did in the first game without Jalen Royals. So I think he's somebody worth taking a flyer on simply because of system more than anything else. One honorable mention guy that I will go ahead and discuss here is another Jones, and that is UCF Jacoby Jones, who is the transfer that was formerly at Ohio. And I'll be honest with you, he has not done really anything this entire season. It's the reason why he at this point is 1% rostered in all of Fantrax. But this most recent week, a couple of things happened that I think could make him viable. And again, this is a little bit of a long shot, and that's why I'm just putting him down as an honorable mention, but somebody you might want to take a flyer on. Maybe you roster, see how this next week goes, and then he could become an option for you in the playoffs. One thing we saw happen was Kobe Hudson went down with an injury. He at this point, as I'm recording this, I don't know what the injury was. It was definitely a knee or lower extremity injury. He could not put any weight on his left leg. It definitely didn't look good. So it would not surprise me if we see Hudson out for a while. And it clearly looks like Jacoby Jones then became the featured target. The other thing that happened was that they decided to, at least mid-game, make the transfer over to Rizik as the quarterback. It just simply was not working out with Ja'Cory Brown. They've moved on from KJ Jefferson. But Rizik, as a quarterback, is probably the best passer that they have on roster. Gus Malzahn loves to basically use these essentially running backs as quarterbacks, and run that, RPO type system. That's not what Dylan Ritzik is, and he actually is a viable passer. So that makes Jacoby Jones, at least have some type of upside if they decide to stick with that quarterback change there. So just somebody to keep on your radar. Two other guys I'll briefly mention here for the honorable mention section. Again, Mississippi State, they're playing UMass. I know Kevin Coleman is over 50% owned, so he would not meet Jared's parameters. I want to say he usually likes to have less than 30% ownership as far as guys to mention on here. Kevin Coleman does not meet that criteria, but he is owned, or he is unowned out there in leagues. I know I picked him up in a league just this past week for his matchup with Arkansas, which he ended up going for 100 yards and a touchdown. Since Michael Van Buren, and really pretty much the entire season, Kevin Coleman's been the one guy that has been steady in that passing game. And he plays out of the slot there, which we love with Jeff Lebby in that system. And he is being peppered with targets. Lots of times it's not very efficient targets. Sometimes it is, like we saw against Arkansas. They're playing UMass this week. It's a lot easier to be efficient against UMass than it is Georgia and Texas. So I like throwing Kevin Coleman out there as a definite start this week, should he be available in your leagues. The other guy is Colorado State's Caleb Goody. That's a little bit of a shoot from deep option for you here. A lot of people maybe haven't even heard of Caleb Goody, but you probably should, since Torrey Horton has gone down. And when Torrey Horton was briefly injured or limited with I want to say it was a hamstring or something like that earlier in the season, it was actually Caleb Goody that took his snaps. Caleb Goody is definitely the receiver that is getting the majority of snaps since Horton has gone down, and he's done the most with it here. The last two games, he has received three. He's got three catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown this past week. Three catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown against Air Force the week before that. Those are the two games in which Horton was injured and out at least most of the game. So the targets still aren't there. I do think he is probably the number one option right now for Colorado State. The problem is Colorado State has really changed who they are kind of midway through this season when they realize that it just ain't happening with Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, and that maybe, maybe their strength is in the run game, which we have seen with Anthony Morrow and Justin Marshall at times be really, really strong. They've kind of leaned on the run more, but when they do have to open it up and throw it, I do think it's going to be Caleb Goody that they're going to be looking towards as that replacement for Horton. He has Nevada this week, then they are on a bye, and then they have Wyoming, Fresno, and then a very, very nice matchup in week 14 against Utah State. So just somebody to keep on your radar, maybe take a flyer on. But I do think that I do think he's the primary option without Torrey Horton, even though there's just simply no way you can expect Torrey Horton type of numbers there. Moving over to tight ends here. Let me get a quick drink and we will discuss them. I have two tight ends that we will briefly touch on. I'm going to just assume that these guys are probably not owned in your league. The first one I'll touch on here, Syracuse tight end Dan Vellari. He is currently rostered in 10% of leagues. Dan Vellari hasn't done anything this year, but similar to last year, when some injuries happened and Dan Vellari saw himself actually becoming the main feature primary option in that Syracuse offense, that could potentially happen to a lesser degree this year. The kind of the big thing is here is that Amari Gadsden was injured in this most recent matchup. I want to say it was a concussion is what they're probably thinking his situation is there. He could certainly be back fairly soon. I don't know. I haven't totally been able to read up on what maybe that situation is looking like at Syracuse. But Vellari filled in quite nicely in really just about a half worth of play here with Gadsden out. I said Amari, Aronde Gadsden. With Gadsden out in the second half, Dan Vellari had five targets, three catches, 40 yards. Not bad, right? Tight end wise, didn't score a touchdown through the air. But as we've seen Vellari in the past, he had two rushing attempts for 4 yards and a touchdown. It was at the very end of the game. Game was out of control. But when they get down there at the 2 yard line, Kyle McCord is not a running option. They can simply go to Wildcat formation with Dan Vellari lining up there, and him and LaQuint Allen become kind of a two-man RPO system there. So that I think that's kind of the primary thing. He becomes more of an option in the pass game if Gadsden is going to be out any period of time. And given his rushing upside, he becomes kind of a fun, late season flyer that you can take there. The other option I will throw your way again, it's kind of the theme of the episode here. Mississippi State's Sadu Treori. He is the tight end option there for the Bulldogs. They're going up against you named it UMass, and Treori's been kind of hit or miss, but as of recently, he's gotten a fair amount of volume from a tight end. It's about as much as you could ask for from a tight end. The last three games, he has six targets in each of those games. And because he is a wide receiver tight end hybrid type, he's more efficient than what you will see a lot of tight ends. He's not a, run 5 yard out or slant over the middle, catch it, fall down, try to get, 6, 7 yards. His yards per reception over the last few games here, 15.4, 12.7, 10.2, 14. So he is a guy that can athletically make some plays after he catches the ball. Last game, he literally dove for the pylon on one of his catches. It looked like a touchdown. It should have been called a touchdown. For some reason, they did not. Otherwise, he would have had 77 yards and a touchdown on top of it. So I do think that he is definitely going to be available there in your leagues. He is rostered in 16% of leagues. That 16% is probably all Andrew Katz, just based off of some of the draft history I remember in drafts I had with him. So if you're not in a league with Andrew Katz, I imagine Sadu Traore is an option for you, and another dart throw you can put out there against UMass for this Mississippi State team. So that's pretty much it as far as the waiver wire options that I have for you. I did want to bring up one thing as far as three primary injury related things to keep an eye on, because I think if one of the guys that I'm going to mention is out, if one of these injured players is for sure going to be out, I think the backup becomes at least somebody to pay attention to. The first one is at Texas Tech with their quarterback position. We saw Baron Morton go out this past week, fairly early in the game, and did not return. And it was Will Hammond who took over as the quarterback there and looked really, really good doing so. I want to say he started out like 9 of 9 or something like that, passing the ball. Did not skip a beat with Baron Morton. They did end up losing to TCU, but it certainly wasn't all because the true freshman had to come in and just wasn't functional in that offense. He looked good. He looked every bit as good as Baron Morton. He has a little bit of rushing upside, probably more so than even Morton does now. Morton, really, because of his injury past and just being made of glass, does not really run much anymore. So I think you could potentially get some rushing upside there with Hammond. So just keep an eye on Morton and what his health situation is. The other one, staying in the Big 12, Ollie Gordon. Ollie Gordon was hurt in this most recent game, left. And it was a little bit of a split backfield after he left, but it does appear, just based off what coaches have been saying, just based off the most recent couple of games, who's been getting the snaps whenever Gordon is out. And that's Rodney Fields, who I believe is also a true freshman. He has looked okay in relief, but either way, nobody's going to put up Ollie Gordon type numbers. I'm not expecting that whatsoever, but I do think that Fields becomes somebody, if this is a long-term injury, or even if Gordon's going to be out for a game or two, Fields becomes somebody you got to at least take a look at. And if you're hurting bad enough because of all the bye weeks, like I am in one of my leagues, definitely worth taking a shot on Fields. And the other one is at Arkansas in their backfield. We saw, obviously, Jaquindon Jackson, who we knew coming into this game was going to be doubtful, ended up being out, listed as out by the midweek injury report. And then Sam Pittman said, we're gonna let Braylon Russell eat, and eat he did. Which he can eat. He's 252 pounds of a behemoth of a man there. But he went for, I want to say, right around 160 yards against Mississippi State. Clearly not a great defense, but he went for 150 plus. 75 of that came on one run at the very end, or towards the end of his stretch, because he had a hamstring injury, or at least looked to be hobbled by the hamstring after that long run. Now, Pittman said after the game, I think he was just tired. I think he was exhausted. He doesn't normally run 75 yards on one play. I think the hamstring's fine. So watch the injury reports. If he is out, if Jaquindon Jackson is out, then potentially Rashad DeBinion becomes an option for you. Arkansas has been fantastic running the ball this year. If neither one of those two top guys can go, DeBinion showed when he hangs onto the ball and he's not fumbling it, he's actually pretty good. He's probably their best receiver out of the backfield as well too. So he could become an option for you there if Russell and Jaquinn Jackson are both out. So that is it as far as the guys that I have for you that I want to discuss. Be sure to check those out and check your waiver wire, see if they are options for you moving forward. With that, we've kind of come to the end of our show here. So I thank you guys for listening. I apologize you didn't get Jared today. I hope that I was able to be able to give you some good options moving forward. Hope it was worth your listen. Thank you for listening. If you have not already, as I mentioned earlier, please comment, subscribe on the YouTube feed. If you're listening to this on the podcast version, please leave a 5-star review where you can. Make sure you check out the rest of the Campus Kitten stuff that we have over there at our website. Everything you need for fantasy football needs. So check that out. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful week 10.